You know, I know the world is talking a lot, as Dad said, as we had the announcement, as we plan on this party, about a big game tonight. And you know, that's a cool thing. And I think about, I probably don't need that, but thanks. I think about how important that is to a lot of people. And I don't mean just fans, but I mean these players. How all week and for 2 weeks, like the world stops, and we just want to see these players and hear them interviewed. And we think about all the ways they try to psych themselves up for the big game. You know, how they start talking in their head about all these battle analogies. And my guy here who's been to war will tell you, football's a tough sport, but it ain't war. But we all try to, you know, that's how we do in life. We try to psych ourselves up. And so these guys are psyching themselves up. They're just trying to find something inside them that's going to make them win tonight. I mean, they're trying to find some motivation, some sort of thing in their mind, some mind trick, something that'll let them win a game tonight. And so they think of battles, and they think of fighting, and they think of all these things. But I really think about this. You know, nothing life-changing is going to happen tonight. I mean, I know it's pretty cool. And I like sports, obviously. But even for these players, and it's a career, but it's not really life-changing. I mean, they might make more money. And they might, you know, they might get a commercial deal out of it. But nobody's probably going to live or die, I hope, based on what happens in a game. So I just wonder, as we think about a big game and we think about Super Bowl, and that's not really what I'm preaching about, I don't think. What's the real big game today? What's really at stake today? Who's really got something big going on today? I mean, what really is a Super Bowl Sunday? Really, isn't every Sunday Super Sunday? Isn't every Monday Super Monday? Because you know what? Right now in this place, thank you, Roman. Right now in this place, sort of. I thanked you too quickly. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you. Right now in this place, there's people that are fighting the game of their life. They're playing the game of their life. And the stakes aren't a trophy. The stakes are life and death. And I can promise you this, I'm fighting the same fight. If you ever think that I stand before you preaching down to you, saying I've got it all figured out, and I'm preaching to a bunch of poor people who don't, you're wrong. Because I don't have it all figured out. I mess up just like you guys do. I'm human, I'm flesh, I goof up all the time. I don't pretend not to be. But I believe this. I believe we're all playing the biggest game of our lives. And I believe there's consequences. And I believe that there's a stake. And I believe there's things we're fighting for. And I believe we all have something we're fighting for. And I believe today is not the biggest game because they're playing the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. I believe it's the biggest game because of what you and I face right now. So I need your prayer. I need your prayer. I promise you, I'm getting some... I'm gonna just be brief, and I have to give the assist to Dad and some video he played. We were going to prison the other night, and those that went with us in the prison, I apologize, we might cover some of the same ground. But, you know, I went Friday night to the prison. I wasn't planning on preaching, even though I do minister a lot there. I was planning on letting Dad and just supporting Dad, and I really felt that's the way God wanted it to go. And on the way over, Dad played a video. You know, I'm driving the van. By the way, this is from the pastor. You can't be qualified to preach unless you learn how to drive a van. Isn't that right? So if you want to be, if that's your calling, you better get on that van driving circuit because that's the only way. So I was driving the van, and of course I was paying full attention to the road. I wasn't being distracted. And Dad played me a video. So I give an assist to Dad because what the Holy Spirit does with me, the way he works through me, he takes things in my life that I see or that happen to me or that can be all kinds of things, and then he takes it and flips it and connects it to Scripture and then connects it to people's lives in my life. And so Dad played this little video, and just on the way over, God gave me a word. And So I didn't make any notes or anything because I was driving. And but I do think it's an important word for us right now. I think it's an important word for every person in this room, because I think all of us are facing things. Sometimes we get in pity parties and we think we're the only ones facing anything. We're the only ones that are going through a struggle. We're the only ones, poor, pitiful us. But I have news for everybody in here. We're all, me included, going through stuff. We're all facing stuff. And just because it's my stuff don't mean it's the most important stuff in the room. All of our stuff's important. We're all playing the big game. This is Super Bowl Sunday for all of us. We all got stuff. So God's got a word for us. I'm going to read from Joshua 1. And many of you know that's my verse. I got lots of verses. Well, this is Star Wars water. What about that? Josh, did you get the water this month? Joshua 1. Very important verse for me, and you can stand for the reading of the word if you're able. A lot of you guys don't believe, you know, in Joshua 1. We're just going to start with Joshua 1:1. A lot of you guys don't believe in putting pagan marks on your body based on Leviticus, and that's fine. I don't discredit that. I don't think you should put pagan marks on your body. But my first tattoo was Joshua 1:9. That's not very pagan, but it's Joshua 1:9 on my arm. And because it means something to me at a very important point in my life. God made a promise to me. God makes promises to us. Right when we need it, He'll make a promise to you. And I've failed Him many, 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 many times. But He's never broke that promise to me. And it's not just me. That promise applies to each and every person in this room. And even when we mess up, even when we fail, He won't break His promise. He hasn't broke a single promise. So Joshua 1, I'm going to read. And before I read, I just want to pray again. I'm feeling interference here. Is that all right to be honest, to be transparent? I'd rather just fight it than pretend it don't exist. So I want you to pray for me, that I can give this word that God's put on my heart, and that each and every person will receive it. Heavenly Father, I'm just flesh and blood. I'm not worthy. As Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. Lord, I'm not even worthy. Lord, but Your blood and Your sacrifice and what You did on that cross is the only thing that makes me worthy. My righteousness is but filthy rags, and so is everyone in this room. But Lord, we get to wear a white robe because You took my sin on that cross. You took each and every person's sin on that cross, Lord. And so, Lord, right now as the enemy gets in our heads, as the enemy tries to distract each and every person in this room during this service, Lord, I bind the enemy. And I say he will not be welcome here. He will not be successful here. And that each and every person will be touched in the biggest day of their life. This is somebody's Super Bowl. Maybe this is all of our Super Bowl Sunday. Maybe this is all of everybody's Super Sunday. Because this is a big stakes, Lord. Life is a big game. Life has powerful consequences and powerful things at stake. We have our children's lives at stake. We have the community at stake. We have our souls at stake. Lord, there's so much at stake here. This is the biggest game in town. It's not in San Francisco. But the biggest game in town is in the hearts and souls and minds of each and every person here and around the world, Lord. Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do in this place. We have faith. And we believe, Lord, that Your word is true and that Your promises are true. And we thank You for what's going to happen here today. I believe there's going to be a group of people, Lord, that will leave here differently, that will win, that will win the biggest game of their life. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? I know He's with me. Here we go. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you You, say you, to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one, say no one, will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you nor abandon you. Are you listening to the word? Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right nor the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Here we go. Joshua 1:9. This is my command. This is my command. His word is always the same. His word never lies. It never changes. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated. Do you receive that word? Do you receive that word? You know, if I give you a word, if it's from me, if it's from Heath, if I sign a note to you and say, look, Roy, everything's going to be okay, man, because Heath says so. Well, it might be all right. You might believe that. You might say, well, I like Heath. He's a good guy. Or you may not believe it. But the word I gave is straight out of the word of God. So if he says be strong, if he says be courageous, then we need to be strong and we need to be courageous. If he says don't be scared, don't be afraid, if he says he's going to be with us the whole way, then he's going to be with us the whole way because his word is true. So many times I preach or have preached from Joshua. And Joshua 1:9 specifically, I have preached several times. In fact, there was a guy in the prison Friday night that had been out 3 years and he had to come back. And he brought me his Bible after the service and he said, he makes notes in his Bible, which I encourage you all to do or keep notebooks or whatever. But he had little notes in the median, you know. He said, I want to show you something pretty wild. He said, God must be trying to show me something. He said, look in this median. He said, the last time I was in this prison was 2012. And the last service I got to be in with you guys was June 26, 2012. And you preached on Joshua 1:9. And now 3 years later, I come back to Mountain City. And I come back my first service. And you preach on Joshua 1:9. I said, well, God's trying to tell you something, my man. And maybe God's trying to tell us something. But you know, I preach this message, but I think God has a little different twist on it. Sometimes we just look at Joshua as the conqueror. We look at Joshua as just the conqueror because he was a conqueror. He won every battle but one, and he avenged that one. He was a conqueror. He was the one. You know, Moses, the law, couldn't get the people all the way. Moses got them out of the Egypt. But Joshua, there had to be another generation that would take them all the way. A Yeshua, a deliverer, somebody that would take the people on. And sometimes we forget the fact, though, that Joshua was a man. And all that Joshua faced when God had this powerful encounter with him. Joshua's a human being. And Moses, who's like the legend, right? He's the legend. He's the one that we think of when we think of Old Testament. We probably think Moses and David, number one and two. And you know, even the Jewish people, they hold Moses as the giver of the law. They hold Moses up here on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was who? It was Jesus. It was Elijah and who? Moses. We think of Moses as the one that brought him out of the wilderness. We think of Moses as the one that raised his staff and a whole sea spread and a people walked through. A whole millions of people, a whole nation of people to deliver that many people out of bondage, out of slavery. We think of Moses, a man who spoke to God in a burning bush. Moses, a man who got a glimpse. We think of Moses, the one who went on the mountain When all the people ran from God's presence, what did Moses do? He charged the mountain. He charged the presence of God. We think of Moses as an awesome man of God. Sometimes we think that way. We think, well, certain people are just so more powerful. They're so more connected. And people do get anointings, and that's true. But we think, you know, oh, Pastor R, now he's the one, man. We're going to get by. And I do believe in that, and believe in leadership and spiritual authority. But sometimes we use that to shirk our own responsibility. So Joshua is encountered by God. And Joshua, the man Joshua had been following, the one he had been loyal to, the one that was the legend, the legend, Moses, the powerful Moses, had died. The people, you know, these people have been following God, but they've been following Moses. And here he's dead. This would have been a very difficult time for Joshua. We forget that. We just look at this as an all positive verse. Like, whoa, man. We forget about the humanity of this man. Oh, the dilemma he would have faced. The uncertainty he would have faced. The knots in his stomach. The butterflies floating around. The anxiety. The fear. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Moses couldn't even get these people across that river. He got them out of bondage. He split the sea. Moses, the one who did the miracles. And God fed us from heaven. These people, they wandered around a mountain for 40 years. Moses couldn't even get Egypt out of these people. Moses couldn't do this job, God, and now you're giving it to me? Now you're giving it to me? Moses couldn't even do it. And now you're asking me, the assistant. I've been an assistant. I'm just an assistant. You're asking me to do this? Surely there's somebody more qualified. Moses couldn't do it. And God, you're asking me to take these people into that promised land that you've promised them. Each and every one of us here have a promised land. Each and every one of us here have a destiny, a purpose. And God is telling you, you can get into that purpose. And you can live in that destiny. And you don't have to wander around anymore. We wander around the same problems like they wander around the same mountains. We wander and we wander and we wander and we spend our years wandering around the same circles, fighting the same problems, battling the same old things. Instead of just going in to our purpose. So Joshua, in his human state, would have had a decision to make at that very moment. God called him for an action. God said, Joshua, you lead these people to their destiny. God says, Grant, you got a destiny. Go in, son. God says, Heath, you got a destiny. Go in, son. God says, Jody, you got a destiny. He's telling us to go in. But we got a choice. Each and every person here has a choice. And I thought of this. God gave me this word, and he said this. When you face a time of battle, how many knows we're battling? You battling in here. I know you're battling. You don't have to. If you don't raise your hand, I don't care. I know you're battling. I know you struggle with things. I know you got problems. I do. I know you do too. I know there's nights you can't sleep. I know there's worries in your mind. I know you have depression at times. I know you worry about things in your own human state. I know we have kids we worry about. We have problems we worry about. I know we have situations we worry about. We're all battling, friends. We've all been given a destiny. We've all been given a purpose. We've all been told there's a greater thing coming. We've all been told there's a purpose out there and a destiny out there. And I know we want to get there. We've kind of been wandering around. We've been struggling around with the same problems, with the same old things we keep battling in our head and our mind. But I know you want to get there. And what God showed me was this. When you're in a battle, when you're being attacked, you got three choices. Three choices. If somebody comes up and starts fighting you, you got three choices. How many knows we're in a fight? It's a spiritual fight. We don't fight against people. If you fight against people, you're wasting your time. We fight against spiritual forces, dark forces in high places. And when we get a fight, whether it's spiritually or physically, you've got three choices. This man's been in combat. He's been in the desert. He's stood against rifles. He knows what it's like to go to sleep at night and know that you could be shot. He knows what it's like knowing the next step he can hit a trip bomb. He knows what that's like. Listen, life in a very real state is the same way. That football game really may not be, but life is. Life is fatal. Let me tell you something. We ain't getting out of here alive unless Jesus comes back first. We're going to face death. Let me tell you something. Life is fatal. We're playing a fatal game, and there's an enemy that really wants to destroy you. You are under attack, friend, and you can ignore it. You can look in the mirror and say warm thoughts. You can do Jack Handy. You can say, doggone it, I'm special and I'm wonderful and all that stuff. But you know what? You're under attack. I'm under attack. You got three choices when you're under attack. You can die. You hear me? You can die. You can run. You can fight. When you're under attack, there's one right there. Soldier. You can die. You can run. You can fight. So let me ask you this. We're all under attack. We've established the enemy don't want to see you hit your destiny. He wants to destroy you and me. He wants to see us fail. So what are we going to do? You're going to die where you are? You're just going to hunker up? Oh God, I'm so depressed, I'll sleep and die. You're going to run? Some of us have been running our whole lives. We keep running from the same problem. We keep running. You know what? God showed me this too. We've all been running from a monster our whole lives, some of us. It's the same monster. He just changes masks. He's like Scooby-Doo. He just keeps putting on a different mask, but it's the same dude. The same dude's been chasing you for her whole life, and he puts on different masks, and he takes different forms, but it's time to stop running. Or we can fight. Or we can fight. Joshua faced this question. As he was in his very human state, God challenged him and said, I got a job for you, Joshua. You take these people across. Joshua had been in. Joshua could have been discouraged. You know, he wandered 40 years and didn't do nothing wrong, in a sense. We all do stuff wrong. But what I mean by that is, he was really punished in a way for the wrongs of other people. He really served time. I said this in prison. He served time for a crime he didn't commit. He served 40 years for the crime that the other 10 dudes committed. The disbelief. He could have been discouraged and said, God, I went in before and for 40 years we wandered. God, Moses couldn't do it. What are you going to do, Joshua? You going to die like the rest of them? You going to run back to Egypt, Joshua? What are you going to do? Or are you going to go across that river and you're going to fight, son? So Joshua had the challenge. Here's what Joshua did. You know, I don't know if I've ever preached Joshua 1:10 before. I always stop at 9. I get so excited. But I'm going to read what Joshua actually did, because he had a choice and you and I have a choice. And I'm going to ask you what you're going to do. What are you going to do? Die, run, or fight? Here's what Joshua did. Joshua 1:10. Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days. He's just wandered 40 years. He's dealing with people that won't listen. They're headstrong. They are rebellious people. He could have had doubts. He could have been weak. He could have went and had a meeting and said, oh, can we please talk about this? Can we vote on it? Sometimes it's not time to vote. Sometimes it's time to act. Sometimes it's time to stand up and act and fight. I want you to look at the confidence this man shown in his God. God made him a promise and he believed it. God has made us a promise. It's time we believe it. It's time to stop quoting the promises of God but not believing them. said this, boys, in 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and you will take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving to you. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say we might. He didn't say he was planning on it. He said in 3 days, boys, we're going in and we're going to take this thing. And you know what Joshua did? He did it. He went in the land and they fought. And they fought every enemy they faced. And there were a lot of battles. But they took the land. They took the land. So, Joshua being a type of Christ, I think we can agree, as we all face our life, given the choice of being the unbelieving Israelites that circled around a mountain and died in their wilderness, or being a Joshua, a man given a choice who decided to fight, I think we would all choose to be Joshua. I think we all would say, I want to fight. But here's the question. How? What's the difference between those people and how can we apply that to our life? Because I'm not here just to give you a motivational speech, and I'm not here just to jump up and down. And you know, I really want to see God help us all. I really want to see God take these words, the very real word of God, organic living word, and I want to see us apply that to our life to see powerful things happen. So what God started challenging my mind is, what about Joshua as he faced that question, allowed him to stand and fight? I mean, if we have a choice, die, run, or fight, what about us will allow us to stand and fight instead of just hunkering down and dying, or instead of turning our backside and running? What about us? What about Joshua? What can we learn from Joshua and apply to our life today so that we can fight the very real battles that we face, and we can see victory, and we can see our purpose, and we can see our destiny? And that's where the video comes in. You know, I oftentimes study great theologians. Matthew Henry's commentary, oh, that's a good one. And Spurgeon, and Josh has a few he likes too. And there's some great theologians. But this video wasn't really about Moody. It was about Mike Tyson. So I start thinking about Mike Tyson. And you can blame Dad. You think I'm the only one who does this crazy stuff. You can blame him. He showed me the video. So this time, if you want to complain about me talking about Mike Tyson, you take it up with the big man up here, because he showed me the video. But how many remember, everybody knows who Mike Tyson is, right? Somebody up there might even put a picture up there of him so you can visualize it. I don't know. Don't worry about it if you can't. But, you know, Mike was the baddest man on the planet, so-called. He was the boxer that everybody thought was the most, he was bigger than life. He was like a superhero, really a supervillain. Because he sort of wasn't liked by that point. He was a super villain. And he was like just invincible. He was 37-0 by 1990. He had never been tested. Nobody had ever stood up to him. I mean, he walked in the room and people got scared. He had a super fight with a guy named Michael Spinks. It was supposed to be this big fight. Michael Spinks had never been beat. And if you've seen the tape, the Michael Spinks, who also had a belt, walked in the ring and he was just shaking. His eyes looked like deer in headlights. He was ready to go down before Mike threw a punch. I think it lasted like a minute, 22 seconds. I mean, Mike got paid like $30 million for a minute, 22 seconds. People, when he walked in the ring, were ready to fall down. They were scared. He threw punches with bad intentions. He came in there to hurt somebody. He didn't come in there to play around. He didn't come in there to dance around and jab. He came in there to hurt somebody. He came at you to throw bad intentions. He came at you to destroy you. He came at you to knock your head off. When he walked in the ring, he wanted to decapitate you. He wanted to end your life. He was quoted as saying, I want to eat your children. I want to tear your heart out. Is that true? Did he say that? He was a bad man. And he loved that persona. He loved walking in the room and intimidating people. Let me tell you something. You got an enemy to your soul, and he's intimidating to some of us. He walks in a room, he throws punches with bad intentions. He's not here to play around with you. You may think it's a cute game. It's not a cute game. He's in the room to destroy you. He's in the room to take your head off. He's in the room to end your very life. Not just your life, your children's life. He wants to see you fail. He wants to see me fail. He wants to take us out. Nobody had ever stood up to Mike Tyson. And some of you don't believe it can be done. Nobody believed anybody could stand up to Mike Tyson. When they walked in the ring, they're scared to death. Sometimes we're scared to death because we don't think it can be done. We think we're in a situation in our life. We're facing an enemy in our life that's bigger than life, that's better than life, and that we can't face it. We were intimidated and we're scared because ain't nobody ever beat Mike Tyson. Everybody he fought, he knocked out. And every man that was knocked down, they never got back up. And sometimes we say, oh, nobody ever beats drugs. Nobody ever beats depression. Nobody ever beats this stuff. Nobody's ever happy. Because nobody ever beats Mike Tyson. My problems are too big. They're too bad. And they're too scary. In 1990, I remember this very well. I was a huge sports fan. I was a huge fight fan back then. You know, back then, the heavyweight champion went, it was a big deal. It was like the Super Bowl, bigger than Super Bowl probably. He fought, he was supposed to fight Evander Holyfield. And so they gave him a tune-up to make a little money in a place called Tokyo, Japan. And he walked in the ring like he always walked in the ring, the baddest man on the planet. And everybody tuned in, including me, just waiting for him to knock somebody's head off. We were really thinking maybe one of these days that somebody's head will come detached. Aren't we crazy? All of us just standing there watching. Around the world, all kinds of places, people watching. Came in the ring, no socks, black shoes, black shorts, no robe, no fancy, just looking mean like he's going to kill somebody. And his opponent was not supposed to be a real opponent. It was a fill-in opponent because they were waiting on him to fight a big fight. It was a little unknown dude. You know, Tyson's name was Iron Mike Tyson. Ugh. It's a tough-sounding name. The nickname of the guy he was going to fight was not so intimidating. Buster. I see a room full of busters. You're looking at a buster. You're looking at a buster. Mike was ripped. Mike had biceps. And Mike would come in like this. Peek-a-boo. Mike was a bad looking guy, all ripped up, muscular. Buster had a little flab around his waist and kind of walked a little different. Mike was from the mean streets of Brooklyn. Buster was from Columbus, Ohio. James Douglas was his real name. From the mean streets of Columbus. Really, nobody gave nobody, the guy named Buster, any chance. Nobody knew him. We just wanted to see somebody's head get knocked off. The greatest underdog in heavyweight championship history. And he walks in the ring against a man that had knocked out everybody he's ever faced. You're looking right now holding this mic at an underdog. I'm looking around this room at some underdogs. I'm looking at some people being counted out. You're looking at a man that's been counted out. I'm looking at some busters. I'm looking at some people that some people don't think's got no chance. I'm looking at some people fighting some Mike Tysons, fighting some enemies that are bad men. I'm looking at some people facing some punches with bad intentions. Nobody gave Buster no chance. So the fight started. Everybody around the ring, you know, when Mike Tyson fought, you got there quick. You didn't come in late like I do to church sometimes. You got there early because if you blink, you miss it. In fact, Mike's last fight went 34 seconds. before this one. 34 seconds. So we stand around, you know, and we're waiting. Now my grandpa was in the room. I remember that night. We're waiting for Mike to take somebody's head off. All of a sudden, Buster starts jabbing a little bit. Didn't look that good. But we'd never seen anybody even hardly throw a punch at Mike Tyson. They all run. They all go up against the ropes. Mike Spinks just went up against the ropes and stood there and got whacked. Buster started fighting back. So we watch as rounds go on. I can't believe it. This cat's actually went 2 rounds with Mike. Whoa. 3 rounds with Mike. 4 rounds with Mike. We didn't think he could win, but my goodness, he's went 4 rounds and he's already done something great. Some of us say, you know, we don't think we can win. And it's just okay to just to last a little while. Listen, don't sell yourself short. 5th round. 6th round. 7th round. He's still around. Some of you, you feel like you've been 7 rounds of Mike Tyson, but I got news for you. You might have took a few punches. You might have a black eye, but you're still around. You're still around. You're still in the ring. You're still in the fight. Starting to look around. Can we believe this? I mean, we don't know, can Mike even fight that long? I mean, he throws crazy hard punches, but he's never had to go this long. What's going on? And towards the end of the 8th round, though, Mighty Mike Tyson lands an uppercut. Buster Douglas goes all the way down. Bible in. It'll only hurt for a second. I've heard stories that what goes on in the spirit don't really hurt that bad. So just, he lands that uppercut and down goes Buster Douglas. Go to the ground. All the way down. Run. I want you to see this. This is real. I want you to see this. This is serious. And we're all like, yes. Whew. That's crazy. He went that good. Good job, Buster. Man, you showed up. You did more than anybody's ever done. Some of you want one of those participation medals for life. Life don't give participation medals. I just heard earlier, you go all the way or you go none. You don't get a participation medal. He could have been happy with a participation medal. He could have walked out of that ring and said, you know what? I went farther than anybody. I did better than anybody thought I could. Woo, give me a medal. Give me a medal. I mean, I know I got knocked out, but at least I put up a fight. He could have took the participation ribbon. He got knocked hard. Some of you have been hit hard. He got rocked. And Mike Tyson stood there. And that referee counted. He probably counted slow. I mean, I've watched the tape. But he counted. 1. Buster didn't even move at 1. 2. Buster was still down. 3. Some of you have been counting the counts on you. Some of us, it's the count is on. And if we get to 10, we're counted out. Some of us, we hear the count. 4, 5, 6. He was still laying on the ground. Oh, Buster, just stay down. Don't get hurt, son. 7, 8. Still down. 9. He's still down. And here's the point. Count was 9. The baddest man on the planet was standing on top of him. And nobody had ever got up from Mike Tyson. Nobody had ever been knocked down by Mike Tyson. And there he laid, and he had a choice to make. He could die, he could run, or he could get up and fight. He had 1 second left. He was down to the last count. He had 1 second left. Nobody's ever got up from Mike Tyson. Nobody. You may be facing a 9 count right now. But what are you going to do? You got an enemy in your head that's telling you, stay down. Stay down. You did the best you could. You did the best you could. Stay down. You took enough punishment. You took enough punishment. Stay down, Buster. You're a Buster. You're a nobody. You're not Mike Tyson. Stay down. What are we going to do? Stay down. Get up. Die. Run. We'll fight. Nobody had ever got up. And for some reason, some guy named Buster that nobody knew of, nobody even heard of, got up at the count of 9. Nobody knew what to do. Mike looked kind of confused. He kind of walked around kind of funny, and the ref kind of didn't know what to do. And we didn't know what to do. And Mike come in to do the kill, the last final kill, because you know Buster's legs were wobbling. Ding! The round was over. Saved by the bell. So Buster goes back to his corner. Buster goes back to his corner. Buster had a choice. Do you even send him back out? Do we even come back out? We can just die on our stool. We can just throw in the towel. We just throw in the towel right here. Some of you want to throw in the towel. Going gets tough. Let's throw in the towel. Times get hard. Let's throw in the towel. Everything's happy. Everybody's fun. Woo, man. We're together. Have fun. Whoa, yeah. Times get tough. Throw in the towel. You don't need fair weather friends in your life to throw in the towel when things are tough. He stood on his stool. He sat on his stool. Where's my stool? He sat on his stool, kind of like Joshua, huh? Kind of like Joshua, huh? What are you going to do, Joshua? Everybody before failed. Everybody before has died. Nobody's got them people across that river. What are you going to do, Joshua? Nobody's beat Mike Tyson. But you're sitting on the stool, Joshua. You want to throw in the towel, Joshua? What are you guys going to do? Nobody's ever beat depression. Nobody's ever went and done these great things. Nobody's ever really made a dent in the drug problem around here. You can't beat drugs. What are you going to do? Came time to go back out. Buster had a choice. Run. Die. Fight. Buster stood up. And he marched back in the center of that ring. I'm sure it surprised Mike. He even got up. So here came Mike. Life's still coming, friends. Your problem's still coming, friends. Don't think because you hit an altar, you're all of a sudden Mike Tyson's running from you. We face that in the recovery program. Don't think just because you hit an altar that all your problems just run from you all the time. He said he'd be with us through it all. He didn't say it'd be easy. Everybody faces Mike Tyson. Come on, man. You ain't the only one. I ain't the only one. So Mike was probably surprised. But you know, Buster was probably still a little wobbly. You know, you get knocked down by Mike Tyson for 9 seconds. You're a little wobbly. Some of us were a little wobbly. We don't feel so strong right now. We're a little rattled right now, be honest, right? And we're trying to fight, but we're a little wobbly. If you're wobbly and you're attacked, you still got the same 3 choices. Run, die, or fight. You say, I'm scared, fight scared. You say, I'm tired, fight tired. You say, I'm wobbly, fight wobbly. You say, I'm anxious, fight anxious. You're either going to die anxious, you're going to fight anxious, you're going to run anxious. You're either going to die wobbly or fight wobbly run wobbly. And this little cat that nobody knew about, wobbly legs, a little bit of a beer belly looking guy, stood up there against Mike Tyson. tried to fight back. Mike pushed him up against the ropes. You know, Mike come out like he always does. Peek-a-boo. He was ready to knock him out. He was ready to take his head off. Come right at him. Life comes at you. Problems come at you. Buster Wobbly went back up against the ropes. And Mike started throwing punches to take him out. Some of you feel like the punches are coming in bunches. The punches are coming in bunches. You feel like your back's against the rope. You feel like your legs are wobbly. And ain't nobody beat Mike Tyson. And the punches are coming in bunches. You can run, die, or fight. Buster starts jabbing a little bit, fighting off Mike Tyson. Challenges Mike. All of a sudden, Mike got hit a little bit. Mike got hit a little bit. And Mike got sloppy a little bit. And all of a sudden, Buster connected. And for the first time in history, down went Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson got knocked down. And I promise you, every sports bar or person's house or wherever they were watching TV or listening on the radio or theaters or pay-per-view places, everybody in the room, I promise you, stood up and went. What just happened? James Buster Douglas shocked the world. One, Mike Tyson, we'd never even seen him get hit hard, was laying on the floor. Two, three, four, he was fumbling around. You see the pictures. He was trying. He was out of his mind. He was looking for his mouthpiece with his glove, thumbing on it. Five, six, seven, this can't be happening. This cannot be happening. Eight, nobody beats Mike Tyson. Nine, this is impossible. Nobody does this. Ten, ding, ding, ding. And the new champion of the world is a guy named James Douglas. And the baddest man on the planet lay in the ring on the floor, not knowing what just happened. Sports Illustrated next week had a cover on it that said, "The Real Rocky, Rocky Balboa." And it had James Buster Douglas. I see some real Rockies. I see some Busters. You're looking at one. I see some of the world's counted out who are facing insurmountable, seemingly odds. And you got a choice to make. So here's the question. Again, I like to ask questions. Why did Joshua choose to fight instead of run or die? And why, of all things, did a man named James Douglas choose to fight against Mike Tyson when nobody else could? Nobody else did. Certainly wasn't his ability. In fact, it's probably ruined the rest of the... But he lost his next fight, and I don't think he ever did anything anymore. But for that one night, he chose to fight Mike Tyson. So here's the question. Why did Joshua fight? Why does Mike Tyson fight? They could have run. Buster Douglas, they could have run. They could have died. Why should you fight? Why should I fight? Why shouldn't we fail like all those other people? Why shouldn't we just die like everybody else? Why shouldn't we be happy with the participation medal for life? He tried his best, doggone it. Why should we fight? And so I thought about, you investigate the story as this video went to show. Something about Buster Douglas that none of the rest of us knew at the time. Buster, although we shouldn't be surprised, his name was Buster, and that's not an insult if there's any Busters in the room or on the internet. It's a great name. It's just not as intimidating as, you know, iron, you know. I mean, my name's not that intimidating either, so. Something we didn't know. He was a mama's boy. He was mama's boy. I don't mean that as an insult. He was very close to his mother. His mother was sort of his earthly rock. A lot of us, I'm sort of a mama's boy at times. I'm sort of a defiant mama's boy at times, but I'm a mama's boy at times. I'm sort of a rebel at times. He's very close to his mother. And his mother I didn't realize this at the time they fought. Maybe I said something about it. I just didn't pay attention because nobody cared about Dave and Buster Douglas before that fight. His mother died 2 days before the fight. So he was really in a difficult situation, wasn't he, like Joshua? I mean, he was probably torn even to fight. I mean, he probably wouldn't get another chance because he was a fill-in. And if he would have canceled the fight, then they would have just scheduled somebody else who got knocked out probably. He had a choice to make. 2 days before the fight, his mom died. But you know what his mom said on her deathbed? She says, James, you're going to beat Mike Tyson. James, you're going to beat Mike Tyson. And I'm not saying she was a prophet. I'm not saying God even cares who wins that fight. Maybe he did for a demonstrative sermon one day. I don't know. But I'll say this. James Buster Douglas, when his mama died, looked him in the eye and said, James, you're going to beat Mike Tyson. As the video showed, found his why. You say, preacher, why do I fight? You got to have a why to fight. And here's the thing. Your why has to outweigh your fear. Hear me out. Your why has to outweigh your fear. When you face Mike Tyson, that's a fear. There you're going to be scared. In life, you've got challenges that scare us. We all do. We have things that we're afraid of. We have results that we can't control that we're afraid of. We have things we're anxious about. We have things we're scared of. And as long as our fears outweigh our will to fight, we're going to run or die. But when you find a why that outweighs your fear, you will fight. And all of a sudden, a bunch of busters just might shock the world. So the question, yes. So the question, if we're challenged with die, run, or fight, is this. What's your why? What's your why? Because here's this. If I just yell and scream and give a great sermon and jump up and down and use Odie and throw him around and I do all these things, and if I just entertain you and I just motivate you for 5 minutes, because some of those videos are like that. You know, I watch them on the treadmill, and I get motivated to get through a boring cardio session. But, you know, they don't really, about 3 o'clock when I'm facing life stress, I don't remember that video. If I'm just an inspirational, motivational talk to you, I'll make you feel good for a minute. But when I'm not around you in the day, when you're facing your Mike Tyson, when you're facing your problems, I'm not going to be enough to get you through. Pastor R is not going to be enough to get you through. Mark Batterson or Billy Graham or Craig Rochelle or whoever is not going to be enough to get you through. You got to have a white hot why burning inside you that will convince you to fight even when you're scared, because you're going to be scared. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be nervous. You're going to have doubts, but you got to fight anyway. I was anxious coming up here this morning. I was anxious taking this stand, but sometimes you just got to fight anyway. Because it's either run from it, die, or fight. What's your why? What's your why? It's easy for me to say fight. Everybody wants to fight. Use analogy of the Super Bowl. They're going to say, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. But what is your why? Why fight? You have a purpose. You have a destiny. You have a world to change. You have lives to change. You have children. You have family members. You have community. You have a lot of whys in this room. There's a lot of reasons to fight, and you got to start realizing it, and you got to start letting it burn you, and you got to start letting it drive you. And those reasons to fight have got to outweigh your scared, fearful self. Your why's got to be greater than your self-doubt. why's got to be bigger than your inadequacy. Your why's got to be bigger than your fears. Your why's got to be bigger than your self-doubt. If you have no other why, know this, that Jesus Christ created you with purpose. He died on a cross for you. He thought enough of you to bleed and suffer for your life and for your why. He found your why so important that he hung between heaven and earth, and he took our punishment, and he died for our sins. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And on the third and appointed morning, he arose. And he later ascended to the Father, where he sits on the right hand, making intercessions for you or I. And one day, when no man knoweth not, he will split the sky wide open on a white horse. And around the robe will be the words, King of kings, Lord of lords. A robe dipped in blood, coming to rage a righteous war. He's coming back, friend, and he cares about your why. He cares about your why. If you don't have a why, you're just existing. If you don't have a why, you're just existing. You're just looking for your participation medal. Just trying to get through another day. I believe all my heart that God wants you to find your why. And he wants you to let that burn inside of you so strong that nothing's going to get you down. It will drive you to your purpose. That's the reason Joshua went into the promised land. He had a why. The ones that wandered around, you're wandering without purpose. You've got to have a why. I think about this as we finish. I think about the disciples. They remind me of Buster Douglas. Nobodies, fishers, and different things, different careers, and just regular folk. And they walked around with Jesus, and they were pumped up, you know, man. Just like a good sermon on Sunday, they were pumped up. They're walking around with Jesus, and Jesus is healing people, and Jesus is walking on the water. And when they're with him, everything's good. Sometimes we're with somebody, everything's good. And then Jesus goes to the cross. And they feel alone. Hear me out. They feel alone. What do? They go run and hide. Some of us are hiding emotionally and spiritually because we're scared to get hurt. Our fears outweighing our why. Even though Jesus had told them all these powerful things, in that moment, their fear outweighed their why. You all have heard the gospel in this community, in this region. If you've been to these churches, any church around here, I mean, you guys have heard the gospel. You guys know who Jesus is. You guys know John 3:16. Some places I go preach, they don't. But you guys know it. But still, a lot of times our fear outweighs our why. So they hid and they hid and they hid, but something happened. And science and doubters and atheists and people, they don't believe in Jesus. I mean, they believe he existed. They just don't believe he was the Son of God. They don't believe in miracles. But, you know, I just got to ask myself why 12 men who were hiding and they had a choice, die, run, or fight, all of a sudden on the third day, jumped up on the count of nine like Buster Douglas and said, we're going to fight. And those 12 men saw something that happened. They said, we're going to go around the world and we're going to get crucified and killed, whatever it takes for this, what we saw. There's a why in us that we saw that's so powerful that we will die for it. Something they saw. If he would have been a false prophet, if he'd been alive, if he'd been a hoax, they'd have run. Or they'd have died. But on the third morning, something they saw burned in their hearts the rest of their life. They said, we've got something to drive us now. Their why outran their fear. And if you don't get my sarcastic undertone, I'll just fill in the blanks. He rose. He lives. He got up. And they saw it. And that's their why. That was their why. That was their why. And that's enough why for anybody in this room. I don't care what Mike Tyson you face. I don't care what pity party you have. You've got a why. It's time we stop running from our problems. It's time we stop throwing pity parties and hunker down. And it's time we stand and fight. It's time we find our why. So I thank you guys for being attentive today on Super Bowl Sunday. But here's my prayer. Each and every one of us facing that choice today, die, run, or fight, we find our why right here, right now, right here. Right. I don't mean later on. I don't mean I'll study on a preacher. I don't know. I'll think about a preacher. I'll go compare notes to other religious preachers. I'll look on the internet preacher. That you find your why right now. Because we don't know, friend, when the 10th bell rings. We don't know when the final bell rings. And I don't want to be on the ground having a pity party when the 10th bell rings. When somebody needs me. When somebody in the community needs me. When a child, when a prisoner, when an orphan, when a widow needs me. When a hurting person needs me. And I'm just laying on the floor when the 10 count hits. I don't even want to wait to 9. I don't want to give that ref a chance. I want to get up. Because something burns in me. And keep fighting. There's no shame in getting knocked down. Just get up. Keep fighting. So I'm going to ask every head to bow. Thank you for being patient. Every head to bow. Nobody's looking around. I'm going to ask you just a simple question. You guys know you're in a battle. If you're in a battle in here, you know you're in a spiritual battle. You know you're in a spiritual battle. I want you to raise your hand with me. You're in a spiritual battle in this place. If your hand's not up, you're lying. Everybody's fighting. Come on. You got stuff in your life that you're struggling with. We all got stuff in our life as long as we're flesh. Paul says, I have to die daily because I battle against my flesh. Let me tell you something. We battle. You know you do. I do. I'm not better than you. I'm the worst of any of you. Oh, we all struggle. If you're struggling, you know it. Raise your hand. If you're facing a battle, that means everybody in here whose hand is raised can say this honestly. You got a choice to make. Run, die, or fight. Run, die, or fight. Run, die, or fight. That's the choice. We don't have no other choice. If you're in a battle, that's your choice. You don't have a third option, fourth option. It's run or die or fight. So let me ask you this. If you want to fight, you keep your hand up. If you're ready to run or die, put it down. If you want to fight, keep your hand up. You keep your hand up. I see fighters. I see world shockers. I see Buster Douglases. I see people that want to change the world. I see people that want to change their world. If you want to fight, then you keep your hand up. If you want to find your why, put your hand up proud. I believe all my heart God will give us a why. I believe that with all my heart. I believe He has given us a why. If you want to fight, if you want your why, I'm going to do the altar call differently today. I know I might confuse some people, but here's what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to I don't want to confuse anybody and say I have the power to count anybody out. I do not. Because even if you leave here today, if you got breath, you still got time. That's not what I'm saying. This is just a spiritual demonstrative exercise that I want you to see spiritually, and I want you to make a choice spiritually, and I want you to come pray to God that He gives you a why right now that outweighs your fears. Because I know He loves you. I know He loves you. And I know He wants nothing but good things for you. I know that. I believe that with all my heart. I know He wants to give you a why right now that outweighs your fears. But I'm going to count like we do a boxer who's down, because some of us feel down. I'm going to start at 1 and I'm going to go towards 10. But I won't hit 10 because I can't count you out. But anytime between 1 and 9, if you want to come to this altar and you say, you know, God, I want to find my fight. God, I want to find my why, and I choose today to fight for my kids. I choose today to fight for my destiny. I choose today to fight for the less fortunate. I choose today to fight for the prisoners. I choose today to fight for the drug addicts. I choose today to fight. Then I want you to come find your why. I want you to ask God right now to give you a burning, wide heart why in your life. And I'm going to start counting at 1, and any time. When you go, 1! I'm going to go to the back of the room so I don't get in the way as people come. 2! Some of you are down and you're struggling. Your knees are wobbly. 3. Some of you have been hit hard. Some of you have been hit hard by somebody throwing with bad intentions. 4. Nobody gets up from Mike Tyson. Nobody ever gets up from Mike Tyson. Five. Just stay down. The devil's telling some of you to stay down. He's telling some of you it's too hard. He's telling some of you can't do it. He's telling some of you you're nobody. Six. Oh, it's going to be easier just to go out like a chump. It's going to be easier to run. Seven. What if you get up and you get hit again? What if you get up and you get hit again? Oh, the devil's in your mind. Mike Tyson's in your mind. He's whispering to you right now. Eight. He whispers right now. Stay down. But something inside of you says, I want to fight. Something inside of you right now is saying, I'm not going to listen to the devil. Nobody may have ever beat Mike Tyson, but I'm going to fight right now. Nine. Some of you are getting ready to shock the world. Some of you want to shock the world. We're going to pray together right now. We're going to pray together right now. But my prayer is this. My prayer is today, you find your why and you fight like you've never fought before. You fought like you've never fought before.